Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network. The Best Ever You Show is here to help you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products and businesses, real life stories. With this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. And now, here is your host, Elizabeth.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you so much for listening to the Best Ever You Show. I'm so thankful that you're here, and I just absolutely love hearing in the background all of the sharing and liking and listening of our show that's put us well over a million downloads now. So I can't tell you how much I'm telling you how much I appreciate all of you and your support, because, you know, you've taken us and just grown us so much from, and Marcy, our guest, knows how this goes, from just this little tiny idea, kind of an inkling of an idea that I had like 5 years ago or so, into what we are today. And it's cool how it's chugging along and doing its thing. And I'm also proud to announce that as of yesterday, we have a release date on Percolate, Let Your Best Self Filter Through. I just signed with Hay House. And so my book is coming out 4/14/14. How's that for a cool number, Marcy? Pretty cool. 4/14/14. Yeah. So Percolate, Let Your Best Self. Yeah, Percolate's coming out, and I'm really proud of that. So, but with all of that, we have, you know, the focus here is really on our guest. Our guest today is Marcy McKenna. You can visit Marcy's website at marcymckenna.com. That's M-A-R-C-Y. MCKENNA.com. You can find her on Twitter under that name, and on Facebook and Pinterest and YouTube and all over the place. But Marcy, and you can chime in here, Marcy, but you're an innovator. I love to meet people like you, because you're just an entrepreneur, and you're the brains and face behind Simply Solved Innovations. And I'm curious about this as we go through the show. I want to hear about being born into a family of inventors, and how you knew since childhood this is probably what you're going to do. But you're a businesswoman, a mom of three. I'm very curious if you're leaning in, leaning out, staying at home, in the pool. That's another part of all of this. All of the above. And you can tell me all about your style and go. And I'm on your website right now, and I can see, you know, how many cool things you create. So welcome, Marcy. How are you today? And you're in Newport. Where are you?
Newport Beach, California.
Oh, you spoiled rotten thing. I'm all the way in Maine.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's not too shabby either.
That's beautiful.
I love the East Coast.
Yeah.
So, you're right. I am an innovator. I'm trying to come up with a new name. I'm actually a nerdy inventor, and I'm trying to come up with something much more glamorous than that. But, yes, I was born into a family of inventors. My great-grandfather was a big inventor. He had probably hundreds of patents to his name when he passed away. And my uncle was also an inventor. And my mom, though none of her products came to market, my whole life was spent watching her come up with funky ideas to solve problems. And since I was a kid, I was, you know, kind of following suit and coming up with games, to, you know, board games, inventing ones that I thought I was going to submit to Mattel toys someday, that kind of thing. And what ended up happening is as I got older, and after I got married, I started to realize there was all these sort of problems, like little annoyances in my everyday life. And I was, instead of getting frustrated by those annoyances, I would sort of embrace them, because I knew that where there was a problem, there was a solution. And where there was a solution, there's an invention. And the hope is that where there's an invention, there's a product that can turn into a business. So that really excited me. And I started creating this binder of all of my ideas, this big giant white binder that I'm actually staring at right now. And I just thought, someday I'm going to actually, when I find time, I'm going to turn these into real products. And if I don't do that, at the very least, I will pass them down to my children when I pass away, and they'll have the opportunity to turn them into products. And then I guess from there, what ended up happening was I came across an amazing opportunity with Kelly Ripa. She was doing an invention reality show for women, and I found it online, and I submitted my invention, and 6 months later, I got the call that I guess I would say, would forever change my life. And I went on the show. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm rambling on. Sorry. It faded out for a second there. What did you just say with Kelly Ripa? You were on her show, and it changed your life.
Yeah. She her show was called Homemade Millionaire, and it was done in conjunction with HSN. So they searched the country for female inventors that not only had an invention, but 50% of it was having the invention. The other 50% was that person had to be able to go on TV and sell the invention because it would be manufactured, marketed, and sold on HSN. So there was a series of different challenges that we went through. We taped in New York and had focus groups for the products that we had invented. And ultimately, I went on to win the whole show. And the product that I won with was the Style & Go Hair Care Valet, which actually did launch on HSN last July. Sold out very quickly, and there's now a waiting list for it. But it's I'm happy to announce that it's going to be rolling out soon to Lowe's Home Improvement come August.
That's so cool. Good for you. So for a brain like mine that goes, yeah, you know, it's so neat that you can do that, how do you back that up and actually, like, make something? Like, how do you actually do that? Where do you go? Where do you, you know, how do you turn a hairdryer into a hairdryer? I mean, how does that, where do you manufacture that? How do you take, you know what I mean? I'm so stuck in the how. And I think probably a lot of people are because, you know, a lot of people have neat ideas, but they don't really know how to implement them.
Yeah, that's such a great point and such a great question, especially I think with the success of some of the invention reality shows like Shark Tank. So many people are watching that, and I love Shark Tank. It's probably my favorite show on TV, but I think where it's lacking is in you get to see somebody who had an idea that's already being sold. For the most part, they're usually already out there, and then the sharks come in with their money and they help them just, you know, grow it bigger. So I think where it misses is how did they go from that idea potentially on a cocktail napkin and turn it into that product that's being sold? And that's kind of the mystery that is out there that nobody really understands how to do it. And it's really a lot simpler than you might think, and it costs a lot less money, or it can cost a lot less money than you might think. I think so many people sort of stop in their tracks at the idea stage because they think it's such a daunting financial task. But there's just never been a better time to invent because there are so many really free resources out there available to us to take our ideas and turn them into products. There's so many different opportunities like the reality show that I was on. There's you know, the Shark Tanks of the world. There's Invention USA. There's Invention Hunters. There's crowdfunding, which is becoming such a big deal and such a great way to raise money to get your product off the ground. But I'm sort of going off on a tangent here to get back to your original question of how you take it from an idea and turn it into a real product. I can just sort of take you through my inventing process and, you know, stop me if you have any questions, and I'll try to get through it kind of quickly. But for me, whenever I have an idea, really, the first thing I do is go online and make sure it's not already out there. And that's, you know, simplifying things. So I'll spend hours and hours just doing a Google search, a Bing search, a Yahoo search, every kind of search I can possibly come up with. And I'll take the idea and change the words around in every way I can change them just to make sure the product's not out there. But most time you'll find out that the product is out there or some rendition of it is out there. But that doesn't mean that you're dead in your tracks. And you can definitely always have a new slant on it, make a better mousetrap, make something even that's less expensive than what's out there. And there's lots of different slants you can take on it. So even though it's out there, you just need to figure out how yours is going to be different, it's going to be better, and how you're going to position it and market it. From there, I'll go on and do a patent search. And a lot of people think, well, I need to go out and hire an attorney to do this patent search. And it's really not the case anymore. I mean, yes, you can do that. And somewhere down the road, you may want to put the dollars to that. But initially, you can go on and do your own patent search by just going to the USPTO, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. You can also go on, my favorite place to start is Google Patent. And that's such a really user-friendly site to look up patents for different products. And there's also Patent Storm and many others. And then the next thing I do, I have forced myself. I've learned the hard way, but I forced myself to go through a 72-hour waiting period because I get so excited and the juices just get flowing when I come up with a new idea for a product. And I find that sometimes if I can wait a little bit, I realize maybe it's not as good of an idea as I thought. So if after those 72 hours, I
funny.
Still love it, yeah, it's very true.
Oh, yeah.
So then I will move forward if I still love it as much as I did, you know, a few days prior.
Oh, that,
and
you know, that's probably the best advice right there, because so many people are, I sometimes do that with my writing. I just sit on it a little bit and just make sure that's the poem I want to put out there or whatever, you know, that's the right wording, or I hear you.
And you go back and read it a couple days later.
Yeah. Exactly. Keep going. Because I want to interrupt you, but I'm not going to as far as all the
free.
Different questions that are spinning off. But I'm gonna come back to one of them, I hope. I'm going to write it down right now so I remember. Keep going, because that's really fascinating.
Okay, so I was just going to say, for me, the next stage, and it really depends on what your idea is, what the product is, but the next stage is the prototype stage. I have to make sure this thing that I came up with, this idea, actually works. And I'll tell you, my brand is called Simply Solved by Marcy McKenna, and it's called that because all of my products are simple solutions to everyday problems. So nothing that I create is really rocket science, but it's rather, as I said earlier, there's an annoyance in my life, and how can I solve it and make my life easier? So most of my products, I've been able to really just put together a prototype of things I have around the house. I mean, as crude as glue and tape and scissors and cardboard, things like that. And because it's just really, I'm proof of concept. I need to know, does this actually work? With the Style & Go, it's kind of a funny story, but my 7-year-old son actually made my first prototype out of Legos. So we wanted to see if the size would work and could we actually fit a hairdryer, curling iron, and a straightening iron into a sort of a medicine-style cabinet. And from there, I then went to a local college, Orange Coast Community College, and hired a student to build my next prototype out of wood. So that was a little bit more realistic toward what I was trying to achieve. And that cost me $100. So, you know, I think people get this idea that a prototype is going to be tens of thousands of dollars, and I can't really afford to do that, so I'm just going to leave it as an idea and never do anything with it. And there's just, again, so many options out there. The other thing that I do with prototypes, and this is really my go-to, is I have a company, there's a company I work with in San Diego called VizSource, and I have them create a photorealistic rendering of my idea. And so it does cost about $500, but in lieu of creating a full-blown true prototype, they can, by the time I'm done working with them, which is about 2 days, I've got a color brochure that actually makes it look like my product exists. If you saw the brochure, you would be certain that it was a real product that's on the store shelves, but it's not. And I have used that to get products sold to retailers and primarily home shopping. I was previously with HSN. I'm now launching my brand in a very big way over at QVC. And in both cases, I have brought those renderings in, and the buyers have said, yes, we want that product, and we want this many of them, without even the full-blown prototype or sample. So it can be done for very little money by really tapping into those resources.
So tell us a little bit about the Style & Go as far as what it is and what problem it's solving, if you would.
Okay. So in my house, probably my biggest marital problem to date is my bathroom countertop. Actually, it's no longer a problem, but it was a problem. And that is, my husband and I obviously share a bathroom. We've got the two sinks, and it's a fairly large bathroom, but it is always a disaster because I'm a mom of three little ones, and I have no time in the morning. I'm racing around with my head cut off, and the last thing I have time to do is wait for my appliances, my hair dryer, curling iron, straightening iron, to cool off before I, you know, unplug them, wind up the cords, fit them into the overstressed drawers and cabinets. So instead, I was just leaving them out and running out the door. And there's always a hair dryer tucked into the towel bar, and my curling iron's over on my husband's side, burning a little hole into the, burning a burn mark into the countertop. So it was just sort of an ongoing battle. And I had a 3-year-old daughter at the time. She's now 6. And she reached up and grabbed the barrel of the hot curling iron one day. It was actually during the taping of Homemade Millionaire. And I just thought, there's just got to be a better way. I mean, everybody's dealing with this, and why? this could be so simple. And so my simple solution was a wall-mounted cabinet that not only stores and organizes those hot hair appliances, but it has a built-in power source. So you're actually using those appliances from the same place that you're storing them. So the amount of time that saves you in the morning is actually really significant. If you think about not having to wait for them to cool off, you just put them in their appliance holders. You shut the door. You press a single button that turns off all of the appliances. You shut the door. You're out your door in a minute, and the bathroom is neat and tidy every time. So that is the Style and Go.
And it accommodates how many items, and are they your own items, or do you sell those items with it? How does that go? You didn't have to reinvent the blow dryer and the curling iron and the straight iron, right?
I did not have to do that, and that's a very good question. The appliances are not included. So what I found is everybody is very particular about their appliances that they use. So I did not include the appliances. What I did include, though, is a whole cord management system, because one of the biggest, I think, annoyances with our hair appliances are the messy, tangled up cords. So when you install it for the first time, the cords go into a cord management system and they're forever organized, which is just so nice. And that cord management system goes with you when you travel. So you just pull it out. You have to go to the website and see it to know what I'm talking about. And that's MarcyMcKenna.com if you're listening. But it does come with that. And it, to answer your question about the number of appliances, it's designed to hold up to four appliances. So many of you may have a wide barrel curling iron and a narrow barrel, so you can do the two different sizes. You may have an electric toothbrush or a Clarisonic. I always find my Clarisonic is never charged when I want to use it. So now that's actually what I keep in my Style and Go. So it's not just for hair appliances. If you shared it with your husband, you could have an electric toothbrush in there, an electric razor. You know, maybe a hair dryer is the only hair appliance you use. There's just so many other options for those other three appliance holders that you have in there.
Genius. I'm sure you've heard that word before. Genius. So, yeah.
Well,
that's awesome.
What was so cool was when we taped in New York City, you know, living in California, space is not as much of an issue as it is in New York City. And what we found in the focus groups were that literally 100% of the people had this problem and really wanted a solution for it. So in those tiny little bathroom spaces in New York City, if you can take those bulky hair appliances out from those few cabinets that you do have and put it into a full new cabinet on your wall, that really solves the problem. It, you know, it gives you more space. It gives you more time in the morning. And it even actually saves energy, because with the built-in power source, when you turn it off, all of the appliances are powered down at the source. So there's no longer that residual drain on electricity that you have when you leave your appliances plugged in. Even though they're turned off, they're still draining electricity.
Yeah. Absolutely genius. So how I have so many questions for you. I'm going to keep going through products for a minute, and I'm going to write this other one down. We'll come back to my questions if we have time. But so the next thing that you invented, I don't know in which sequence they are, but the next thing to the right of this on your website is My French Press. Did you want to talk about that a little bit? And then is it Cambia collection? Is that how you say that? Is it Cambia or Cambia?
Cambia, okay. Which means to change in Italian. And I'll stay on that for a minute. That actually was a product. It's the Cambia collection, and it's an interchangeable clutch purse. And it's a high-end designer quality clutch purse that I actually was lucky enough to create with Carlos Falchi, who's a very renowned high-end handbag designer. And I created during the taping of Homemade Millionaire because we were only allowed to bring one suitcase, and yet I had to have eight different outfits for all of the tapings. And I literally could only fit one purse in my suitcase. And on my airplane, on a cocktail napkin, I thought, I'm going to design a purse that you could take off the cover, just the clutch cover, with a belted mechanism so that I can change it out to go with every outfit, and it'll take up very little space in my suitcase. So the end result was the Cambia collection, and you can literally pack, I've got seven different flaps for mine, and I can pack seven different purse looks in my suitcase, and it literally will take up the space of a small sweater or even a shirt. And so the space saving element I loved, because I loved it for my closet as well, but what I came to find out as I was creating these clutch covers with Carlos Falchi is the real benefit here is it makes those high-end designer handbags affordable, because instead of having to buy a whole new purse each time, you're just buying a clutch cover. So you're just paying $25 or $30 depending on the cover, and you're getting a whole new look for the new season or whatever it might be, rather than, you know, a couple hundred dollars or even up to $500 or whatever people spend for those high-end handbags. So I really love this product. And actually, Rachel Zoe, the celebrity stylist, she saw the product, she and her husband Roger, and they fell in love with it. And we ended up partnering up to redesign it with her aesthetics and to launch it under her brand. So we're still in talks to do that, and I'm not sure what exactly is going to happen. But that was kind of a nice validation to have her love it and want to, you know, put it under her brand.
Yeah,
so we'll see where that goes.
They're really cool. Yeah, I mean, that's, so it's basically kind of like it's described as like a 3-in-1 purse with three interchangeable, it's hard to understand, like, if you're not picturing quite what it is, but it just makes, tell me, so it's interchangeable covers. That's so
right.
Cool.
So
I mean, I'd never think of that in a million years. I just go and keep buying purses.
Well, if you think about it, the other thing is, you've seen those, I forget the name of them, but like the kangaroo bags where you don't have to change all the stuff out. It keeps everything organized when you go from one purse to another.
Yeah.
Well, this is also along those lines. If you think about it, you're never taking your stuff out of your purse. You're just changing the cover to go with a different outfit.
I love it.
So the three covers that it comes with, my favorite one is what I like to call the rocker chic. And it's a black leather with gold studs. Very sort of Valentino or Michael Kors looking. Another one is a black patent leather, which is just sort of the go-to, kind of goes with anything from day to night. And then there's also the quilted couture, which is, you know, very Chanel, the traditional quilted that you see all over the place. And it's just the classic bag that will never go out of style. And we had some upsells that are now sold out, but they were, I have a snakeskin and a croc, and those are amazing. I'm in love with those as well.
The idea being what?
I was just going to say, the idea being that every season we're coming out with new clutch covers, so you're always on the forefront of fashion, and you're never having to spend a lot to be there.
Yeah, it's cool. How important do you think it is to have your own beautiful face and brand behind your products and so forth? In other words, the ability to talk on camera and market and talk on the radio and be interviewed and things like that. How much of the success of a product is in that?
You know, that's tough to answer, because I have to say I think it really varies by what your goal is when you come up with an idea. For me, I always knew in my heart that I had a brand, because I looked at my white binder, and there was, when I taped the show, I had 12 products at that time that everyone on the judging panel agreed were perfect for the home shopping world. And I didn't even mean to design them for the home shopping world, but they really spoke to that demographic. And so because I had a whole brand, a whole line of products that really fit that name that I came up with, the Simply Solve name, to me, I knew that I had to be able to sell them on camera in the home shopping world. And I wanted to, because I found during the taping of the show that I really loved that. I loved being in front of the camera, and I'm so passionate about the products that I create because, you know, they stem from my own real-life problems. So I love that aspect. I hear from inventors all over the world every single day, hundreds and hundreds of them every year. People submit products to me to get my opinion or to help them get it off the ground. And of those, I want to say 98% would prefer not to be in front of the camera. Very few want that limelight. It's more about the product and having a stream of income from that product. So if that's the case, there's so many options out there for bringing your product to market without having to be the face and the, you know, the brand in front of the camera. There's a company that I work with in various ways, and we can get into that later, but it's called Edison Nation, and I think what they do is phenomenal because they're really like almost like a broker or a liaison between brands that are out there. Like, I'll use an example and say Wolfgang Puck. He is a brand, as we all know, and he has a whole line of cookware. And he's always looking for new inventions of cookware, but he doesn't have time to invent them. He is off running his restaurants and cooking and yada, yada. So he goes to Edison Nation and says, can you guys help me find an innovative piece of cookware for my line? So Edison Nation runs a search online looking for an innovative new pot or pan or, you know, something along those lines, kitchen gadget. And thousands of inventors will submit their ideas. And at the end of the search, they'll pick a winner, and that winner will have their product put under Wolfgang Puck's brand, and there's a royalty situation that's agreed upon where you'll make a certain percent for your winning product in perpetuity. So it's a great different avenue to take if you don't, number one, either have the time or the money to bring your product to market on your own, but also, to your point, maybe you're not interested in being the whole brand in front of the product.
You know what else I love about you is that you're not some giant mystery. You're pretty, you know, you're open with how you did things, and I love that about you because it sounds like you really genuinely want to see others succeed.
I do. I mean, I love being open about it, and I hope to write a book someday because I just think inventing is such a fantastic way to have an income. And I think when the economy really turned, so many women were, you know, maybe stay-at-home moms and they needed to get back into the workforce. But because they had taken so much time off, they didn't have, you know, the skills or the resume to support their entrance into the workforce. So this is a way where you can work from home, you can create at home, and you can really build a great business. And I think a fantastic statistic is that the past 3 years, patent applications submitted by women have been up 35% year over year. And last year actually was a record number of patent applications, the record number ever submitted. And so it just really shows that people are embracing this idea of inventing and, you know, in going out there and talking and speaking to people and being on TV, I hear about what your original question was on our radio show, how do I do it? And if I can help people, because it really isn't rocket science, I want to do that. And I want America to thrive in business, and this is one way where I think we really can.
Yeah. What's the difference between an invention and a hobby, let's say somebody makes jewelry or they make cookies or they write a book or whatever. What's the difference between that and actually inventing something? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Because my mom lives with me, actually, and as I mentioned, she's an inventor, but actually she loves to invent things, but what she does now is she creates jewelry, and in a way, it is an invention in a way. But I think the difference is the way I see it, an invention is it's something that solves a problem, something that solves a problem in a new way that hasn't been discovered yet. Where jewelry, you know, is decorative
and more
enhances.
Artistic.
Yeah, and it's artistic, exactly. I think of an invention as, wow, this solves the problem, and it's something that we haven't seen before.
Right. Whereas like a painting is more like artistic, it doesn't necessarily solve a problem. So, but it sounds like there has to be a little bit of art mixed in though. I'm just curious as I'm talking here and thinking, can you draw? Can you paint?
My whole family is very artistic. My mom is an amazing artist, an amazing painter. My dad is an architect. And I was in interior design for a while. But it's definitely not my specialty, although I have I like to think I have a very good eye for design because to your point, when you do come up with an invention, I think for it to be successful, there has to be a good design behind it. It has to be aesthetically pleasing. It has to be something that you would be proud to have in your kitchen if it was a kitchen gadget. And you don't necessarily have to do that on your own. There are, you know, product designers out there that can take your great idea and make it look better. But I think it definitely helps.
Yeah. It looks like you could do just about anything. I mean, I look at you and I almost think, gosh, she could be like a runway model. She could be a broadcaster. she could be just about anything.
I used to want to be a broadcaster.
Did you? Yeah.
Runway model, definitely. No. I'm all of 5'1", so I don't think I'm ever going to be a runway model.
Oh, my. I'm barely cracking the 5'2" mark. So I'm funny.
I think I'm 5'1 and possibly going down to 5 feet here soon.
We will not mention age on this show.
No, absolutely not.
Unless you just took your heels off. I don't know which one it was, but that's funny. We'll have to do our run. We'll have to do our own runway creation or something. I always thought that'd be so fun to be a model, and I'm like, grow, darn it, grow. Nope.
That's
funny.
Well, that's the great thing about the internet, right? You can't tell how tall people are on the internet.
No, I'm an itty bitty pipsqueaky thing. Definitely far from tall. I might crack like 5'5" with a really high set of heels. That's funny. All right, so let's go back to your products for a minute here, and can we talk about the French press? Because
yes,
I know in our home our coffee maker is broken, so I'm looking at this. My husband's like, I need something that makes strong coffee, and I'm like, oh, here we go.
Well, this is a phenomenal invention, and I'm excited that you asked about it, because this kind of brings on to me another part of my business that I love. This product was not created by me. It was actually created by somebody else. His name is Pat Rolfes. And part of my business that I never intended on being a part of my business is that so many people come to me with their inventions, and they ask if I could help get it off the ground. And so what I have found is that I really, of the hundreds of inventions that I see every year, there's probably 1-2% of those that I think, wow, this really is something, and this really is a simple solution to an everyday problem. And so I will I'll look at it and I'll talk to the inventor about, is this something that you want to market yourself, or is it something that you want me to take on and market for you and put it under the Simply Solve brand. So the My French Press is a product that I'm actually co-branding with Pat Rolfes and his company, Cafeo, and we're looking at bringing it over to QVC in the next few months. And what it is I'm sure you're familiar with the whole Keurig craze, the K-cups that you're seeing everywhere. Mm-hmm. Well, till now, until this invention that has multiple patents behind it, Keurig was the only way that you could brew a K-cup. And to get a Keurig, it's, you know, about $150, and it takes up a lot of space in the kitchen. And a lot of people were hesitant to, even though it's such a big craze, only, I forget the exact percentage, but I want to say like only 8% of Americans actually have a Keurig machine. And I wondered what that was about, and a part of it's the cost, but also a lot of people aren't sure if they want to really invest in this whole or commit to this whole K-cup craze, partly because of the environmental. You look at this thing, this plastic thing that you're throwing into the trash every day, a couple times a day, and people had a problem with that. And also because it's expensive. Each K-cup costs between 60 and 70 cents a piece, depending on where you're buying it. So there was hesitation on that.
I think it's hard to entertain. In our house, I'm just going to say it, we don't have one, and we've made a choice not to have one, because then you have like a regular coffee maker and then that. And we usually have more than one person drinking coffee.
Yes, us too.
So that doesn't make sense to us. So yeah, but yeah. So, but this sounds
so. What
like
this
it's
is
a solution.
Is we are big coffee drinkers in our household. My husband's a screenwriter, and he gets up very early to write, and so he loves having his coffee. And my husband and I both agree on the fact that there is, and I think any big coffee drinker will tell you, the very best cup of coffee you will ever have in your life is French press coffee. Mm-hmm. And what the problem with French press coffee is that it's such a mess. So we never have it at home. There's one restaurant that we go to only because it serves French press, and we love it. But with my French press, you can actually brew a K-cup with a French press style brewer, single serve brewer, and there is absolutely no mess because you simply throw the K-cup away. And it costs $29.99, and it's a little portable device that is so great for camping or RVs or boating, yep, or if you have someone in college, great for dorm rooms, great for tiny kitchens where you don't want to have a big coffee maker out, or somebody that lives by themselves and they just want that single cup of coffee. For me, in the middle of the day when I just want one cup and I don't want to brew a whole pot, this is just an ingenious solution. And it's a way that people can... I'm sorry?
Can you promise that I can be your first customer?
it is out there, and it's doing phenomenally
well.
It's out
there, right?
almost 5-star reviews across the board. Part of that, the reason why it's doing so well, is it actually tastes so much better than it tastes coming out of a Keurig machine. Because there's sort of a metal taste or something when it goes through the machine. And with my French press, it's as pure as it can be. And it actually has been tested to have a 15% better extraction rate than the typical Keurig machine. So it's wonderful. And the other thing that it does, and then I'll be quiet about it because I could go on and on.
I think I could too.
You can use milk with it, which you can't do with the Keurig machine. So you can make your lattes and cappuccinos and hot chocolate and you name it. So it's fun for kids. It's fun for adults. It's, you know, space saving, time saving, money saving, all of that.
I love it. Especially with a book coming out called Percolate. Let your self filter through.
Perfect for you.
My husband's gonna actually love that because our coffee maker broke and he's been like, I need a coffee maker that does what I need it to do and I can't find it, and I'm like, well, you know, I'm looking at her website. I just emailed him. I'm interviewing Marcy right now. Look at her website and tell me if this is what you're looking for. So I'll see what he says here in a minute. It's pretty funny. So yeah, that's genius. So you have three things. Correct me if I'm wrong. It sounds like you have three really, for lack of a more articulate word, huge products out there right now. Do you have other things out there that I'm not seeing, or do you have these three things right now? So the Style and Go, French Press, and go ahead.
Actually, we're in the midst of updating my website, but I have 22 products in development right now. Mm-hmm. And I have two products right now that are testing via infomercials. So I have, I'm working with two of the top tier DRTV companies with two of my products, and they're doing the media testing nationwide right now. And so we'll see if it goes where it'll be a full blown commercial and retail distribution and so forth. We'll know that probably within about 30 days. And then, as I've mentioned, I'm moving over to QVC, and we're going to be launching 5 new products in the next, before the end of the year. And they're very, very exciting products. They're all, you know, simply solved, simple solutions to everyday problems, but they cross a lot of different categories. Everything from, I have a very innovative cosmetic case that I'm super excited about. Yeah. And I have a solution. Yeah, it's you'll love it. Everyone will love it. I have a solution for nail care, organization of nail polish and nail care accessories. I have a phenomenal product that I can't talk too much about yet, but if you know anything about Hollywood fashion tape, it's along those lines, but it's completely revolutionary and is much easier to use, much less expensive, and just quicker and simpler, and you're not having to deal with the double stick tape that can be so cumbersome.
Yeah.
And several others. There's just too many to name, and I'm not allowed to talk about it quite yet. But if you do sign up on my website, I have a where you can put your email in. I'm going to be doing sneak peeks for everybody that signs up for the sneak peek, so you'll get to see them before they hit CBC.
So, did you know you were going to do this when you were a kid? Has this just been who you are? Aside from, like, if you weren't born into this family of inventors and so forth, is this still you to the core, or was that the major influence?
I think it's me to the core in that I think I have that gene that loves to solve problems. And, you know, as I was saying before, I think most people see a problem and just get annoyed, and I see a problem and I get excited. So whether that's because I grew up around it or whether that was just, you know, a gene that I inherited, I don't know. But did I know that I would actually have a line of products out there when I grew up? No, not at all. And I tried, you know, so many different careers before I landed on this. And when people say, you know, when you know, it's just, I mean, I can't wait to wake up every morning. I can't wait to sit down at my computer and, you know, connect with my followers on Twitter and Facebook and people that reach out to me via my website. I love that element of it. But I also can't wait to get up in the morning because I'm usually working on an invention and I'm, you know, tweaking it and fine-tuning it and dealing with China and, you know, different manufacturing that I have going. And it's just so exciting. And my husband also, as I mentioned, is a screenwriter, and he's the same way. He loves his job, and it's so neat. Loves getting up in the morning. And, I mean, he's up at, 3:30 in the morning sometimes, but typically more like 4:30 or 5. Because you can't wait to get to work on it. So it's really such a cool feeling when you find that thing that is the right in your life.
That's kind of the way I feel about Best Ever You. It's like, you know what? I just love doing this. I wake up every day and I'm just like, you know, I found something that I love to do, and I quit a really a financial services career of many, many years to just up and switch and wanted to be on the radio and write a book and do all these things. And I feel the exact same way. And don't you think that's important, though, when we interview so many people on the radio show who take that leap of faith and follow their gut and follow their heart? What's that entail, do you think? It can be hard for people to just shift gears.
It can be. And, you know, I actually wrote a blog a long time ago that I called 40 and Fearless, My Life of Living Dangerously, because that's sort of what I did. I woke up on my 40th birthday, and I didn't feel like I was living the life that felt right in my core. And I knew that I had these products that I really felt passionate about, that I knew that if I could get them out there in the marketplace, they would be successful. That also kind of piggybacked on the fact that my husband, being a writer, the WGA was on strike at that exact same time. So everything kind of changed financially for us for a short period of time. And during that, it just made me think, what can I do to bring an income in? Because this is not going to work right now. And so I just committed on my 40th birthday to live my life fearlessly and to do everything I could possibly do to move toward that goal of bringing a product to market. And so for me, it meant really adjusting my life. And because it was 1 year, because I said I'm doing this for 365 days, that made it achievable to me. I said, I'm going to wake up an hour earlier every single day. So for me, that meant I was getting up at 5 a.m. instead of 6 a.m. And I needed that hour by myself before the kids woke up for me to actually get something done. So that was important, and I committed to doing that every single day. I also committed to three bold action items. So what I mean by that is there's so many times when I'm trying to achieve something, but I'm just afraid to make that phone call or afraid to, you know, reach out to somebody in the business world that might actually help me move this forward, or afraid to admit that I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to maybe manufacturing or something. So every single day, I wouldn't go to bed at night until three bold action items were completed. And I typically tried to get those items done in the morning so I could kind of feel free of them. But what I started to find out is every time I actually did one of those action items, it not only was such a relief, but it felt so good because I would achieve. By doing that action item, it really did move me so much closer than I ever would have been to my goal. And by just putting that one foot in front of the other every single day, I was so blown away by what I achieved in those 365 days that, I mean, it just worked for me and beyond my
wildest
dreams.
That's a great idea.
That
I used to, I completely get it. One of my, it's funny, when my kids were 0, 2, 4, and 6, and mom, 4 boys, one of my bold action items was take a shower.
That is bold.
Bold, you know, find the time to take a shower.
I love that. I'm in my
Do you ever have days like that?
Afternoon. Oh my gosh, every day. I just, as soon as I get the kids out the door, I'm back to work and I'm sitting in my PJs and my hair's all over the place until literally 3 p.m. when I go pick them up. So, yeah, we do what we got to do, right?
I want to hear more about that, and I think other people do listening too who are juggling mommyhood and careerhood and, you know, all these different things, and a lot of us are working from home and we're, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on, and it's not like you're sitting there, maybe you are, but tell me if you're not or are, you know, it's not like you're sitting there in an evening gown with, you know, your hair extensions in, if you had them, like I've had them before, you know, with someone to have done your hair and makeup just now for the radio show. I'm guessing you're probably kind of like me, maybe like in a T-shirt and jeans or something. Just my hair's on top of my head.
Yep.
Totally.
Well, I'm in my workout gear because I finally had a workout today, so that was good.
Oh,
and
there you go.
Hair on top
yep.
of my head. Unfortunately, I think we kind of tend, when you're building a business, you kind of tend to put your personal self behind a little bit, and that's not necessarily, it's not a good thing. I mean, it's something that I've kind of try to get away from and try to set myself as a priority. But, you know, there's a time and a place, and right now my business is building in a big way quickly. And I just feel like this is a time when I can put those kind of things on the back burner a little bit. And to me, the most important thing in my world is my children, my three children, 6, 10, and 11, and my husband. And so any time that I'm, you know, they come first, and then my business is second, and then right now I am third, but I'm third in a good way. I still feel like I'm taking care of me.
Yeah, well, it's interesting too, because I find on any given day the priorities change too. Some days I am first, and some days I'm not even showing up on the radar because there's so many things going on. But it juggles with all of us that way. I mean, it's a big household here, and you've got the kind of the same thing going, 5 or 6 people there, plus throw in the dog and the cats and the hamster, and it's a full mix going on here. But what I was trying to say there was, people could perceive, success as super glamorous and on TV all the time and, all this stuff, and it's great and everything, but there seems, what I love about you is that it seems to, you are very humble and very real.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. And yeah, there is the glamour TV stuff, but that is, if I had to say, I would put that at about 10% of the picture, and the other 90% is a lot of hard work and a lot of perseverance and a lot of being afraid. But my favorite quote is feel the fear and do it anyway. So, getting into a world that I don't know a whole lot about, but trusting that I'm going to figure it out as I go and taking leaps, taking risks. And, where there's risk, there's usually great reward. And I found that to be really true. So I really enjoy that piece of the business.
Have you ever felt like giving up?
Oh, gosh, yes. That's such a great question. There were so many times during, just after the taping of Homemade Millionaire, actually. It's so exciting when you win. They just had The Voice on, the finale of The Voice the other day, and there's American Idol and all of these reality shows, and you see the winner, and it's so exciting. But the real work, I believe, starts when the camera stops. And kind of, the camera crew goes home and all the glitz and glamour is gone. And you are, now how do you get this off? So you won, but now what do you do? How do you get this off the ground? How do you, in my case, it was, okay, now I get to have my product manufactured by HSN. Well, I didn't even have somebody to contact at HSN at that point. And I was not getting phone calls returned. And then I didn't have a manufacturer and I couldn't find the manufacturer because nobody was guiding me. And so I really realized, wow, I am in this, really by myself. If I'm going to succeed, it's going to be because I'm doing it on my own. And so there were so many days when I felt like I was in so over my head and did want to give up. But it was that commitment, that 40 and fearless commitment that kept me going. And the other thing that keeps me going and that I think is so key for anyone that's getting ready to follow a dream or do anything in their lives is knowing what your why is. Why are you doing this? And for me, that why was so big and so clear and remains so big and so clear that failure is not an option. So every obstacle that came at me, I had to punch it down. I had to figure out a way to go over it, go around it, or go through it. And there was just never an option. Even though I felt it in my heart, I never allowed that to be an option to quit, to give up. And I'm so thankful for that.
Yeah, I love the what is your why. I'm curious, tell us again, what is your why? Like when you think of that question, what's your answer? Yeah.
Yeah, I have a special needs child. My middle child, Colin, has something called Williams syndrome. And he's amazing and he's had open heart surgery and stomach surgery and he's been through a lot. And he has developmental delays as well, but he is now doing very well medically and developmentally he's doing well. But what I know is that my husband and I will take care of him for the rest of his life. He'll most likely be living with us forever. And so I always think about, I want to know, no matter what, that he's taken care of. That if my husband and I are gone, that he is taken care of forever. And not wanting to put that on my two other children. So that he's my number one why. That I think everybody craves that financial security, but when you have something as glaring as that and you feel that responsibility, that just keeps me going every single day. That, and then I also, you know, I've got, my mom lives with us and we take care of her to a degree. And my husband's mom, we take care of to a degree as well. And I just want everyone to be taken care of. And my husband is wonderful and a very successful screenwriter. But as you probably know, in the entertainment business, it can be a roller coaster. And you never know what's going to be next. And so there was that uncertainty in that world. And in my heart, I felt like I can't live with that uncertainty, that I need to know that there's a stable, secure income to take care of those people in our lives.
Yeah.
So it's different for everyone, but I think everybody has a why, and I would encourage you to take time to really dig deep and think about what your why is and put a picture of it, or, you know, type it up on the computer and make a big sign in your office so you're always reminded of what that why is, so that you never do give up. And failure isn't an option. And when you feel that fear, you are going to do it anyway because of that why.
That's really good advice. I hope everybody plays this back a few times and listens to some of the wisdom, because I also like that your why is from your heart.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
You know, your why isn't, you know, because I want everybody to see me, or I want everybody to, you know, your why wasn't even about your products.
Right. Right. Well, and I think when your why is from your heart, it becomes, your goals become so much more achievable, because it's so deep within you, so ingrained deep within you.
Yeah.
So, you know, really thinking about that.
Yeah.
And coming up with
solutions and so forth. Yeah, I have a brother with, we adopted him at birth, and he has fetal alcohol syndrome. And it's challenging for sure, but you know, I'm so proud of my parents and family in the way that they've just been right by Justin throughout his whole life, because he has so much of a better life than he probably would have, and he's able to do so many things that he never would have been able to do because of all the attention and care. So sounds like that's kind of the mom you are too, where it's just that first and foremost, your kids and family and so forth. So I love that. But I'm really proud of you. I hardly know you. I'm really proud of you. Thank you for being on my show. I just I'm almost teary, because I just really like how down to earth you are and how real you are, and it sounds like you're just getting your sleeves rolled up.
Yeah, it's funny. It's been 2 to 3 years, I would say, close to 3 years since I started my business, and that's how I feel right now. Is I feel like I'm just at the point where it's all getting ready to happen in a big way, and it's, you know, all the hard work and all that finally, you know, starting to get ready to pay off, and it's exciting. There's just so many exciting things happening. In addition to the QVC thing, one thing I'm really excited about, and I can't give too many details, but I hope that people will follow me on Twitter. That's probably, Twitter and Facebook are great ways to kind of keep up to date on what I have going on. But I'm embarking on a crowdfunding initiative, or an initiative for crowdfunding, with two great companies. I mentioned one of them is Edison Nation, which is really the biggest inventor community out there. Edison Nation, and then Indiegogo, which is the number two crowdfunding site in the world. And we're doing an initiative for crowdfunding specifically for inventors. And I'm so excited about it, because, you know, people, you brought it up at the very beginning, people have great ideas, but they might not have the money or the wherewithal to get it off the ground. And crowdfunding is just such a phenomenal way for people to do that. And it makes so many things possible. So to be a part of that, super exciting. And I'm also, go ahead.
No, go, you keep going. You're also coming out with
what? I was going to say, I'm also excited about, a couple different production companies have approached me about doing an invention reality show. So I'm in talks with them now, and there's some really great concepts And I would be hosting or sort of mentoring inventors on the show. And I love that because I'll have a little bit of control over what happens with the inventors and their inventions. So I really hope to do great things for them. But I also love to give, you know, I love that there's more opportunities out there for people with good ideas to actually make them happen. So
yeah,
being a part
that
of that
idea.
Will be a lot of fun.
I definitely see that happening for sure, because you're just so TV light. You know what I mean? You could be on TV in a heartbeat if you wanted to be, and then to actually be on TV and do something that helps solve problems and helps people and all those things, I think is just perfect for you. And that's a very wise move. I noticed on your website you have Marcy's must-haves.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Are these products that your people have approached you to help market, or are they just things that you just simply like? I mean, because there's a lot of neat things on here, and some of these I've never seen before, and I'm kind of excited about them, especially the over the door jewelry armoire. I love that.
Oh yeah, that's phenomenal.
That seems
they,
like a lot.
QVC sells one that's great. That's the one that I have, and it is fantastic. But yeah, Mars's must-haves. I'm actually doing, I don't know if you know, but Kris Jenner has a new daytime talk show that's launching in July, and I'm doing a segment on her show called Problem Solved, and it's my pick for the best problem-solving products in the market. And I'm going to be featuring the Style & Go because they've asked me to, but most of the other products are just people out there that I'm constantly online searching for products that I think are fabulous problem solvers. And so I have my Marcy's must-haves on my website. I'm getting ready to start a newsletter with all of my picks. So every week I'll send a new pick of a product that makes your life easier, essentially.
Yeah.
So on the Kris Jenner show, I'm featuring, I think, 8 different products. So that'll be a lot of fun. But, they're not at all necessary. In fact, I don't think any of Marcy's must-haves are my own. They're actually just products that I found in the market and that I love and feel passionate about and want to spread the word and let others know about them. Because that's what, to me, it's those products that are like these hidden gems that nobody knows about, but that really could make your life easier or save you time or save you space. And I want to share that with everybody.
And there's a good lesson under that, too, as far as Best Ever You is concerned and the world, and that, you know, there's no jealousy there. There's support. There's, you know, a lot of love going on there with, you know, just helping other people, which is, I'm just really big into never giving up and gratitude and helping other people.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if I can stop and help another person, I'm all about it. So I think it's just, it's cool that you're doing that. Especially on TV again. Yay. I see you so on TV, it's scary. So yeah, you're totally going to be a TV star. Anyway, you kind of already are, but it's going to get even more crazy, I bet. And there's the George Foreman grill. Good old George Foreman. I love him.
I love that grill. Have you tried that?
I do too.
It is phenomenal. I love it. It's one of my favorite inventions of all time, I think.
Yeah,
it just
absolutely
cooks everything so quick and so perfectly, and the fat runs off, and I love it.
Genius.
I had to share that one.
Funny.
Yeah.
All right, so we have about a minute left. Is there anything that I didn't cover that you wanted to talk about really fast, or we're going under the minute mark here?
Well, you were wonderful, and I loved all of your questions, and I think we covered a lot, but if anybody does want to get in touch with me, my website is Marcy, Marcy McKenna, McKenna, www.marcymckenna.com. And then I'm also, as I said, very active on Twitter, and my handle is at Marcy McKenna, and also on Facebook with Marcy McKenna, Simply Solve Innovation.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Marcy. It was such a joy to learn more about you, and best of luck and much success, and I hope you'll keep us in mind as you continue to grow and come back on and tell us about all the cool things you have going on.
I would love it, and thank you so much for having me. I really, really enjoyed it, and it was an honor to be invited on, so thank you.
Thank you so much. All right, everybody, take care, and I think we have Tuesday, Thursday shows again next week, so join us, and I'll put the schedule out. Have a great day, everybody. Enjoy the sunshine. Bye, Marcy.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.